Now we're looking at Psalm 132 tonight, and we actually only have one more of the Pilgrim's Staircase that we've been studying. But this is a very long one, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be too long-winded. Just looking at it, as a Christian, I think as we grow in the Lord, we want to see our family saved, we want to see our friends saved, and then people all around us, we want to see. We come to where there's a desire and a determination to do something for the Lord. Especially, I think, as you mature in the Lord, as you're an older Christian. And maybe this is why, of the 15 steps, this is the 14th. Because you get a burden and a desire to do something for the Lord. And you want Him to do it. And this is actually what's happening in Psalm 132. I think of our own church with the desire about Cairns and getting a church up and running there and the guys going and spending time there and Buddy and different ones visiting. And then you think Buddy's had this burden for Ravenshoe for a long time, and I don't know how many years he's gone out there with the ladies and having a Sunday afternoon service. And now Cam has that desire to reach the young people. He has the young people here and then the young people out there. And I think there's a lot of desires that we have. I guess I really have a desire to reach out not only to the nursing home but to the RI kids, because I grew up in a Christian home as such, although Dad wasn't saved until I was 9. But we went to church and we had devotions and Mom read Bible stories with us and prayed with us. And I knew, but the kids at school, for the most part, only know about Jesus and God and Lord as cursing. And the stories I tell them, it's all new. And, you know, just talking to them today about Rahab, and they're like, this is all new. I've never heard it. But praise the Lord, they sit and listen. And you just pray that the Lord will work in their hearts and work in their lives. And that's a real burden to me. And I think we all have these kind of burdens. And in this chapter, we say David had the desire, the burden. He had a determination to do something for the Lord, something special. And I guess we'd call this the step of determination. So let's read it. I'll read it since I've got the tape going. Verse 1 of Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard it of it at Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant, my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon the throne, thy throne, forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. Basically, this is the Lord speaking. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, and upon himself shall his crown flourish. So here we see that the Lord is working in the life of David, and he has a desire to do something for the Lord. And I think as we grow in the Lord, we have certain desires and a willingness to do whatever the Lord wants us to do, we want to do it. And I think we realize sometimes the most enjoyable things we do are something we do for the Lord. That not only do they produce crowns in heaven, as you might say, that reaping will come in heaven. But it's something you want to sacrifice for the Lord. It might be money, it might be time, even in some cases it's physical. But to be able to sacrifice a willingness to sacrifice for the Lord on what you believe and what you know about God, reaching out. And I think, too, it takes time for us sometimes to realize that some things are not as important as other things. When you're younger, this is very important, I need this and I want that. But we begin to work out our priorities. We begin to see what is most important. And especially when you get older and you see families falling apart because they haven't done what they should and they haven't had right priorities and they're only thinking of physical things and monetary things that don't last. And so as we begin to work on priorities, our desires change. And I think of the verse in Matthew 6:33, where it's the Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are we talking about? All these things shall be added unto you. He's given us a list before. What was he talking about? Not to worry about what you're going to wear. Not to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He said, your Father knows you have need of all these things. And then I think, too, of the verse in 1 Timothy 6:8, and it talks about if you have food and raiment, you should be content. Man, how much more have we got? So much more the Lord's blessed us with. And then that verse in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we're thinking, okay, what are our priorities? What are we supposed to be thinking about? If we look there in that first verse in Psalm 132, it speaks of the afflictions of David. Interestingly enough, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's not talking about physical sufferings. This one, it's talking about mental distress or mental turmoil, things that are going on in your head, so to speak. And it had to do, from what we can gather in reading the passage, with the desire that David had to do something for God. I want to do something special for God. God's done all this for me. And especially when he got to that part of his life where he said, the enemies are under control. I don't have to worry about them all the time now. I want to do something for the Lord. And what he wanted to do was not something to right the whole world, you know, but something much smaller. And in the first five verses actually go together. And in verse 5, it says, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. What's he talking about? We know, as we look through, like in verse 8, he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the visible presence of the invisible God. It reminded them of God. And David said, I can't rest until I have built a dwelling place for the ark. We know that it was built, the tabernacle was a tent. And every other time it was in a tent. He said, I don't want a tent. I want a permanent dwelling place. I want a place that has prominence, a place that has beauty, because that's how I feel about the Lord. And he talks about not coming into his house and going up into his bed or sleeping. He talks about the fact that he felt it was inconsistent for him to have so much interest in his things, his pursuits, but neglect the things of God. And that's a good thing for us to remember, too. We can get so caught up with what we have, what we want, what we can do, where we're going to go, that we forget about the priorities we need to have for God. Now, if you don't mind holding your place there, I'm going to have to put something in mind too, and go back to 1 Samuel. And we have some the Lord speaking to us here. And 2 Samuel chapter 7. Look at the first three verses. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now, we recently had a sermon on this by Aidan, where he said, when God says no. So what he was saying, he said, I can't rest. I can't enjoy this beautiful house anymore. It's when I know that the Ark of the Covenant is like in a tent. And he said, I'm determined to do something about it. But as we read on through the passage, we know that David was told after Nathan went and talked to God about it, God said, no, I don't want you to build this for me. And he said, it's something I want your son to do. That's something for Solomon. He should build the house. But still, David was so keen, so wanting to do something for the Lord in regard to this, his desire and his determination. So what did he do? He collected everything he could for the temple. He did the plans. He had it laid out. He collected all the timber and had it stacked up. He had all the stones cut and done, everything done away from the city and stored. So when they actually did build the temple, there was not the sound of a hammer when it was put together. Amazing, isn't it? Yes, so he collected the treasure, the gold, the silver, everything for the building. So I think we can learn from this attitude and determination. And if we've been a Christian very long and we love the Lord, there's always something that God is moving on us and moving in our heart to do for him. The verse that comes to mind is Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 10. And in there it says, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, serve the Lord now. You're not going to be able to do it when you're dead. And that's when you're going to regret it, that you didn't do more for the Lord. So he said, if you find something to do for the Lord, do it now. Don't wait. And James 4:17 is another good verse. James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right? So sometimes the Lord will burden us to do something. We know we need to do it. It's a good thing, but we resist and we don't do it. So what is it? It's sin. It's disobedience. And we find there in back in Psalms, we'll be going back and forth, I think, verse 2, he says, he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. And sometimes we even make a vow or a promise to God. God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They said there were a lot of promises like that during the war. If you get me out of here, I'll serve you. And most of them didn't. I have a deceased uncle on Buddy's side who actually did say, I'll do whatever if you get me out of here. And he did. The guy got saved and he became a pastor. But that's not always the way. Things get hard. Things change and you give up, and that's not good. So sometimes God stirs us up to do something. And we know we should do it, but we're finding it very difficult to do. Or maybe we don't know how. But we need to continue like David did and do what we can to accomplish what is in our heart that the Lord has put there and what it is that God wants us to do according to his will. Verse 4, he says, I will not give sleep to mine eyes nor slumber to my eyelids. Now, he wasn't saying I'm not going to sleep at all, but he's saying I can't sleep comfortably. I can't enjoy my rest because I'm thinking of this. I want to get it done. And I think all of us, when we have a burden about something or for someone, you don't sleep well, do you? Or you sleep and you wake up and you start praying about it or you start thinking about it. And that's the way David was feeling. Now, in the next five verses, six and following, it says that David made a search for the ark, basically. And, you know, long before David's time, the ark of the Lord had almost been forgotten by the children of Israel. And so David said, I need to find it, and I will until I find out a place and a place for it. And I've looked, we found it, you know, in the fields of the wood in verse 6. So he knew that the Philistines had stolen it way back in the time of Samuel, who anointed him as king. And they had taken it back to their idols, and how the idols fell down in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and then how the people in the town where the Ark of the Covenant was were struck with a disease. And they moved it to another one, and they got struck with it, and moved it to another one. They said, get rid of it. And so it was taken back to another place. And then he remembered when he was moving the ark, trying to get it into the city, he didn't do it the way God said. He just, well, you know, it came on a, the ark came with oxen and in a cart, and so he just copied that. But then, you know, when they went over that rough spot and the cart shook and he was afraid it was going to fall off, and Uzziah the priest touched it and was killed. And then they just stopped. Can't go any further. What are we going to do? They put it in the house of Obed-Edom. We know it was there at least for 3 months. From there, we don't know where it went. And so he said, I've got to find it. It's a token of the presence of the mighty God of Jacob, it tells us in verse 5. And you and I, though not seeking the ark, we need to seek God. Just like David sought that ark, his search was intense, and he wouldn't stop until it was found. And we need to seek the Lord. What does the Lord want us to do? What, I want to search with diligence. I want to know what I can do for the Lord. How can I reach out? And for unbelievers, we know if they seek the Lord for eternal life, they will receive it. Because it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, you seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. Now, when we decide the Lord wants us to do something and we're keen to do it, there's going to be battles. The devil doesn't want us to do it. And so we have to have a lot of determination, because there's going to be discouragement and even dangers that we might face in desire to do something for the Lord. We're very blessed living in Australia. We might not think we're so blessed after a while. Who knows? But you look at other countries, if they wanted to do something for the Lord, it could be very dangerous. And yet there was that desire. And sometimes when we start on something and we think, oh, this is harder than I thought, and some stop there. They don't go further. They don't go on. But David was determined. Even though he couldn't build the temple, he was going to do everything he could so that it made it easier for his son to build the temple. And sometimes we can't do what we want to, but we want to prepare those who are coming after us to be able to do that job. We can't do everything. And I think once he found the ark, he visualized how it would be when he built the house. Because if you look in verses 7 through 9, it's like it's already built. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout for joy. It was like, it's not here yet, but it's coming. I know it's coming. That's what hope is. It's not hope so, like the world says, oh yeah, I hope I'm going to heaven. No, the hope in the Bible is a definite. I know I'm going. I'm hoping in the Lord. So here David was talking like it was already built. Now, the psalmist doesn't really explain a lot what happened between verses 11 and 12, but Scripture teaches us. So if you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, we find that God basically told David he appreciated his desire to build the temple, but the answer was no, I don't want you to do this. I have other plans. And what God does in return for David's zeal is better than building the temple. So in verse 12, he said, after he's told him he can't build the temple, but his son would build it, when thy days are fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Forever, he says. Wow. It's interesting, you know, we think we want to do something or this needs to be done here, and yet the Lord is saying, I'm going to work through your children, through your grandchildren. How much better is that to see your children serving the Lord, your children and your grandchildren going on for the Lord? And that's what God did for David. And I think, too, sometimes God puts a desire in our hearts for something, but he doesn't allow us to do it. It doesn't mean he's not satisfied with us or he's found us unworthy for some reason, but simply that he has other plans for us before fulfilling those plans that we have a desire for. He has to know if we're willing. Are we willing to do certain things? If we're willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do, we're never going to be a loser, because God's ways are always best, and we need to remember that. I know before we ever came to Australia, good grief, it's almost 50 years ago, before we ever came, I had such a burden for Darwin, because that's what I had seen online, TV or ads or things like that. And I thought, oh, that place really needs a church. It needs the Lord. And I had a real burden for it. You think God's going to send me to Dorrit? No. God said no. My husband said no. He put me other places because God had a different plan. That doesn't mean I stopped praying for Darwin. No, I still do. And, you know, it's interesting that the Lord's put our children close to Darwin. Who knows what the future holds? But I think the Lord knows what he's doing, and it's always going to be for our best. All right, now I've lost Psalm 132. I'll have to find it again. Okay, here we go. Now, just to compare something, there was something else I wanted to tell you, but no, it's probably here. I'll get to it in a minute. In chapter 132, if we look down in verse 8, "Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength." And then look down in 14. The Lord's, it's almost like David is saying this and the Lord is answering. "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." It's like it's already fulfilled, only it wasn't. David's desire to build a house. And the Lord said, "But I'm going to build you a house, not only this one, but one that's going to last forever. Not a temporary rest, but eternal rest." And that had to do with the family as well, because we find that in verse 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you want to flick back. Verse 16, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." So that's what God is giving him instead of him building the temple. And then in verse 9, back in Psalm 132, he said, "Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy." All right, now go down to verse 16. It's like the Lord saying, "I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy." All right, look at verse 10. "For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed." The Lord says in verse 17, "There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. I won't turn my back on you, David, and I won't leave you in the dark, but I'll give you a lamp to guide you." It's interesting how, if you notice under Psalm 132, it doesn't say a psalm of David or a degree of David. It's like it does in 133. So someone else wrote this, but he wrote it like David speaking, and then he wrote almost like a prophecy. It's obviously inspired, isn't it? And we know that the Lord planned to build the house of David. And that's where we found that in 2 Samuel, when he said he will establish one. And interestingly enough, there back in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, if we'll read that again. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, when God told him this, what is that? That is in the future. He's not saying, I'm going to let your son be a king, because he did have quite a few sons. And he said, it's going to proceed, shall proceed. In other words, this child is not even born. You go two chapters over, you have the story of David and Bathsheba. Interesting, isn't it? And that's Solomon. So God knows ahead. He knows ahead of us what's going to happen. And he knows the outcome. And because of his loving kindness, his willingness to forgive, when we seek it, he moves on to bless us in spite of our sins. And I find that very encouraging. And when I read that, when I noticed that when Aidan was speaking about this, and I went to him after and I said, did you see that? Two chapters over us, David and Bathsheba. And I thought, God is so merciful. He's so good. We have a great God, a forgiving God. And I think as we seek the Lord and allow him to say no to the desires that we have or the things that we want to do, that he has something better planned. If he tells us no, and we're walking with him, we're wanting to do the right thing, we're following him, there's something better. And in time, you will be able to give a testimony concerning the joy, the satisfaction you have because you waited on the Lord. Your heart was in the right place, and you are in the place where God wants you to be, doing the thing that God wants you to do. And it may not be what you had thought, just like David thought he was going to build the temple, but he didn't. Just like I wanted to go to Darwin, and I didn't. And I doubt if I ever will, not to do what I would have liked to have done, because the Lord had a different plan and blessed me in that way. I think of the verse that talks about the pearl of great price and about seeking and finding and how the merchant sought. And when he found this pearl of great price, he did everything he could, sold everything he had to get it. And we know that Jesus is a picture of the pearl of great price. He offers salvation. But everything that is embodied in Jesus is part of that pearl of great price. We belong to the Lord. We serve the Lord. And there's the joy we have in serving an almighty God and asking him to work in our lives, work in our families, work in our church. I pray all the time that this church will say, strong and firm on the foundations that's been built upon now, the Word of God, until the Lord returns. Because I know there's so many that are just falling by the wayside. And I don't want to fall by the wayside. I want the people to. And I don't want the church. And as you seek the Lord, just say, Lord, if there's something I need to be doing that I'm not doing, would you please show me what it is? And I think you'll find the Lord gives you burdens for people to go visit, or something to do especially. And like David said, you know, you say, Lord, I want to do it, but if you say no, I know you've got something better. And we can trust him, can't we? All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for the Word of God and the blessing that we get from reading and studying it and the help that it is to us. Help us to serve you, Lord, to love you, and whatever our hand findeth to do it with all our might as we seek to do your will. May be difficult, may be hard, but, oh, Lord, the rewards are so great to see souls saved and people go on to serve you. And, Lord, we look toward heaven, eternal gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.